Hello. First, a word about where you are. You can listen to this anywhere, resting, walking, riding, working with your hands. Everything in it can be done with open eyes, right in the middle of an ordinary day, and whenever something is better done sitting still, at home, with eyes closed, I'll say so. And if what you're doing right now needs your full attention, give it that. This will keep. Now, let me tell you what this is and what it isn't. This is not a book to understand. There is no information in it. Not really. Nothing here asks you to believe anything. Not one sentence. Every track asks you to check something. To look at your own experience directly while I wait. That's the whole method. I ask. You look. And I mean it about the waiting. You're going to hear silence in this recording. Long silences sometimes. The silence is not a mistake. Nothing has gone wrong with the recording. The silence is where the work happens. It's the space I'm leaving for you to actually look. When a long silence ends, you'll hear a small bell. Like the one that opened this track, and then we'll go on. Don't skip the silences. Everything is in them. And the reverse is just as true. My silences are the least amount of time a looking deserves, not the most. If any question wants more room, pause the recording. Take 10 minutes. Take a day. The questions keep. A few agreements between us. Just three. First, honesty. When I ask a question, the only answer that counts is the true one. What you actually find, not what sounds right, not what some book said, not what you think I want to hear. No one will ever hear your answers, so there is no one to impress. If I ask you to look for something, and you find the opposite of what I suggest, good. That's a real finding. Real findings are the only thing that moves this forward. And when you're alone, answer out loud, actually say it. Speaking an answer makes it honest in a way that thinking it never does. Thoughts blur, a spoken sentence has to commit. Second, always look fresh. You will listen to these tracks many times. They're built for that, and every single time every question is new. Never answer from memory. If you looked yesterday and found something, wonderful, that was yesterday. Today, when I ask, look again, now. An answer that arrives instantly, in less than a second, is almost always memory doing an impression of looking. When that happens, and you'll learn to feel it happen, just look once more. This one rule is the entire method. Everything else is detail. Third, put everything down while you listen. Whatever you've read or practiced, teachers, traditions, religions, science, philosophy, leave it outside for now. Not because it's wrong, because it will answer for you, in its own words, and borrowed words are the main thing that keeps people from seeing what's right here. In this book, we use small words. Look, find, thought, sound, hear, now. One thing said plainly, because I care more about you than about this book. Looking like this stirs deep water. Old feelings can surface. That's normal, and there are tracks later that will show you exactly what to do when it happens. But if you are carrying something heavier than that, a despair that will not lift, thoughts of harming yourself, then what you need right now is not a recording. It's a person, a friend, a doctor, a therapist. Reaching for that help is not a failure of this work. It is this work, done in the right order. These tracks will wait for you. They keep. All right, one question before we begin, and I want you to actually answer it, out loud if you can. On a scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you to question everything you currently believe about yourself? Whatever number you said, If it wasn't 10, what is the held back part protecting? Don't answer fast. Look. Whatever you found, that's the right place to start. Let's begin. Before you look for yourself, and that is what this whole book is, one long careful search for the one you call I, we have to talk about what you're expecting to happen. Not because your hopes are wrong, because expectation is the single most common reason people look directly at the truth and miss it. They're scanning the sky for fireworks while the quiet thing is already sitting in their hand. And a quick word first, because words differ. Maybe you came to this seeking truth, or God, or awakening, enlightenment, liberation, peace. Every tradition has its own name for the prize. This book uses one plain phrase for the thing it examines, the separate self. The feeling of being a someone, a small, solid me, apart from life, behind the eyes, looking out at it all. That feeling is what we are going to look for, together. Nothing else is in question here, not life, not the whole, not whatever you hold sacred. Only the separate one. And from here on, whenever I say self, that separate one is always the one I mean. So, 5 questions. Answer each one out loud, or clearly in your mind, in your own words. And wherever my words don't fit, use yours. Take the whole pause for each. 1. What will be different when you see there is no separate self? 2. What do you expect to happen as a result? 3. What do you want not to happen? 4. What are you hoping for, really? 5. What is missing from your life right now? 5 wanted more time than I left you, pause me and take it. These answers matter more than you know. Remember your answers. I mean that literally. Hold on to them. Maybe say them again tonight and let them stick. At the very end of this book, there's a track that will send you back to them. And what you find in them then may be the last thing you ever need to see. Now let me tell you, honestly, what the people who actually saw this report. Not theory, their own words. Real people, thousands of them, who looked until it opened. They expected thunder. What they got, one woman said, was more like an oh, okay. She was washing her hands at the time. One man said, I just woke up one day and felt better. I have no idea, frankly. It doesn't matter. Things lifted. Another, nothing dramatic, nothing extraordinary, just this. Quiet relief. Some of them laughed out loud in quiet rooms at how obvious it was. One man's wife looked over, wondering what was so funny. Some cried without anything sad happening. And many, listen to this, many could not tell you when it happened. It was noticed afterward, the way you notice the rain has stopped. So hear the honest promises, the only ones I'll ever make you. There will probably be no fireworks. It's a subtle shift in seeing, and if you're waiting for thunder, you can wait right through it. Your problems will not vanish. Feelings continue, thoughts continue, the bills continue. What changes is who they seem to be happening to. And this is not self-improvement. There is no upgraded you waiting at the end. And I'll say now, as a thing for you to check and not to believe, the you that would collect the upgrade is exactly what we're going to go looking for. Nothing is gained. A mistake stops being made. That's the whole of it. Walking at dusk, you see a snake on the path, and the heart jumps. Real fear, real racing pulse. Then a light comes, and it's a rope. Notice what happened to the snake. Nothing. Nothing could happen to it. There was never a snake. The fear was real. The danger never was. And nothing needed to be killed for it to end. Something that was never true just stopped being believed. You cannot lose what never was, and you cannot gain what was never missing. The only expectation that survives this, if it goes all the way, is one: the seeking ends. Now think of your five answers from a minute ago. Notice what they actually are, not facts about your future. Thoughts, arising right now, about an imagined event. See them like that, just for a second. Five thoughts, floating. Okay, set them down. Let's learn to look. Everything in this book depends on one skill, and I can teach it to you in about a minute. Most people have simply never been shown the difference. Here's a question. What sounds are around you right now? Notice, there are two ways to answer that. You can think it. You know where you are, so the mind can answer with quick guesses. Thoughts like, there's probably a fridge humming. Some voices somewhere. It's usually quiet at this hour. Whatever your mind's version is, that's answering from an idea of wherever you are. Or you can go quiet and actually listen. Do that now. Just listen. Find what is actually sounding this second. Did you hear something those first guesses didn't include? A hum, a bird, the tick of something, your own breath. If you did, that sound was already here. Thinking didn't know about it. Listening found it. And if you didn't, if the guesses turned out to be right, notice, you only know that now because you checked. Guessing was a maybe. The listening settled it. That difference between the mind's quick guesses, those assumptions wearing the shape of thoughts and actually going to find out, is the entire method of everything that follows. Thinking is fast, plausible, made of memory, and able to be wrong. Looking is immediate, wordless until you word it, and cannot be wrong about what it finds. And watch for one trick, because the mind pulls it constantly. A thought like, I hear a low hum. It must be the refrigerator. Must be is not listening. That's inference, thinking wearing looking's coat. In this book, we never want must be. We only want is. Try the skill once more, in another sense. What's the weather like right now? You could work it out from this morning's forecast, or you could look outside or feel the air on your skin. Look. Be the one who checks. From here on, that's our only rule of evidence. An answer counts if it comes from looking now, in your own words. And you can hear the tells of thinking when they come out of your mouth. Little words like, seems like, must be, probably, I read somewhere. Nothing you actually look at is a seems. It's either found or it's not. Now, a stranger calibration. This one teaches something the sounds can't, and it needs no effort at all. You've already done it many times in your sleep. Have you ever woken from a dream, heart pounding, angry or afraid, because of something someone did to you in it? Someone who, the moment your eyes opened, had never existed at all. Feel what actually happened there. A person made of nothing, no body, no history, no existence, and real anger, a real racing heart, real feelings about no one. That is how convincing an imagined person can be, convincing enough to move your blood. Hold on to that, because there may be one more imagined person, older, richer, more detailed than any dream character. The one called me, felt daily, defended daily, every bit as convincing. This entire book asks one question, and it's this one. When you finally turn and look at this one directly, is anyone there? One more, and then the habit that ties it together. Whatever is around you right now, a wall, a cup, a tree, a lamp, your own hand, pick one thing and really look at it. Anything works, and if seeing isn't how you meet the world, choose a sound or a texture instead. Every looking in this book works just the same. Take a second and choose. Say you chose a tree. What is actually given in raw experience? There's color, shape, maybe sound if wind moves it, and there's a thought that says tree. Now look carefully. Is there a tree there, or is there color, shape, and a thought about a tree? Where is the tree itself, the actual thing the word claims is standing there, apart from that color, that shape, that thought? Can a fourth thing, a tree, be found over and above the three? And if you chose something else, the looking is exactly the same. Take the cup, there's color, there's shape, and there's a thought that says cup. So where is the cup, apart from those? Same with the wall, the lamp, the hand. Whatever you chose, look at what is given and notice what the label adds. Don't rush, there's no clever answer. However that landed, stay with it, because what you just did matters. On a tree, a cup, whatever you chose, you looked past the label for the real thing it points to, and you checked what is actually there. That is the exact looking you will soon do on yourself, the label I, and what's actually there. Last thing, the habit. This is the practice that carries you between tracks, and the people who went all the way did it until it started doing itself. A few times a day, right now works, take 30 seconds and sort the present moment into what's actually given. There are only 6 kinds of thing ever: color, sound, smell, taste, sensation, and thought. Try it now, wherever you are. Name what's here, slowly, out loud if you can. Something seen, that's color. A fan, a fridge, voices, birds, that's sound. The weight of the body on whatever holds it, that's sensation. The little voice narrating, that's thought. Go ahead, 30 seconds, just the 6 words. Everything else, things like street, kitchen, morning, hurry, me, is a label riding on one of those 6. You don't have to do anything about that. Just see it, 30 seconds at a time, again and again, anywhere. It looks like nothing. It's the water that wears through the stone. Let's look at a thought, not a special one, the next one. If you're somewhere you can close your eyes, close them. If not, no matter, this works exactly the same either way, because thoughts don't need your eyes. There's a thought happening right about now. Maybe it's about this recording. Maybe it's about lunch. Don't grab it. Don't argue with it. Just notice it. The way you'd notice a person walking through a doorway. It passed, or it's passing. Fine. Now, wait for the next one. Just wait. Watch the doorway. Whatever came, or if the doorway stayed empty a while, even better. Wait until one arrives. When it does, did you make it? Did you decide its topic, choose its words, schedule its arrival, or did it just appear? Stay here a while. I'll give you the questions one at a time. Don't answer from cleverness. Watch and report what you see. Where do thoughts come from? Watch the doorway. Can you see the next one approaching before it arrives? Do you know what your next thought will be? Can you stop a thought halfway through? Try it. Wait for one and stop it mid-sentence. Can you make a thought from scratch, from nothing? Or do even the chosen seeming ones simply show up? And the strange one. Sit with it, Can a thought think? Look at the thought that's here right now. Is it doing anything? Watching anything? Knowing anything? Or does each one just appear, hang there, and pass, as helpless as a sound? Keep that strange one in your pocket. It will matter again later in this book. A warning about the one mistake everyone makes here. Don't analyze what the thoughts say. Their content doesn't matter. The boring thought about lunch is as good as the deep one about the universe. What matters is only the arriving, and nobody is asking you to stop your thoughts. You can't. You just checked. That's worth saying out loud, actually. Say what you found. Maybe it's something like, thoughts arrive on their own. But use your own words. Say what was actually seen. There's no wrong report. Now, gently, I'm not going to push this yet, just set it down where you can see it. Among the thoughts that arrive by themselves, unauthored, unstoppable, are the thoughts that say, I. I'm listening to this. I'm doing well. I don't get it. Is the thought that says I any different in kind from the thought about lunch? Or is it one more thing walking through the doorway? That's enough for one sitting. Play this track often. The doorway is always open. You say the word I hundreds of times a day. It's the first word most of us learn to defend and the last one anyone examines. Today we examine it. Every other word you use points at something. Say hand. There it is. Say floor, there. So? Say the word I, out loud, slowly, and as you say it, watch where your attention goes. What does the word point to? Say it. I. Again. I. Where does it aim? Follow it like a signpost. Most people find their attention lands somewhere in the body. The head, behind the eyes, the chest. Fine, notice what's actually there at the landing spot. A sensation, some pressure, some warmth, some hum. Is a sensation an I? Or is it a sensation and with the word I stuck to it, the way tree was stuck to the color? And if the word seemed to point nowhere at all, if no landing spot was found, hold on to that. It's not a failure. It may be the most honest finding on this whole track. Now the feeling itself. This is the part everyone insists on. I don't just say the word I feel it. There's a me feeling right here. Good. Let's give it the most honest attention it has ever received. If you can, close your eyes. Open is fine too, the feeling isn't in your eyes anyway. Locate yourself. Where exactly do you live? How far up? Behind the eyes? In the chest? Left of center? Right of center? How far in? And how big are you? the size of the whole body, or smaller, like something looking out of it. Take real time, find the spot. Now describe what you found, out loud, in raw terms only. No metaphors, no it's like. Where is it? Does it have edges, a temperature, a texture? Is it steady? Or does it flicker and need to be found again each time you look? And if you hunted and found no spot at all, say that. That's not a miss. That's a finding. Here's what that looking uncovers, and check it against what you just found. Don't take it from me. The famous feeling of me comes apart under attention into two ingredients. A sensation, some raw felt texture, somewhere in the body. And a thought, a label, me, welded onto it. Sensation plus label, the same two ingredients as the tree. So take the label off. Let the sensation be there exactly as it is, unnamed, just texture, humming away. Without the label, what is it? And whose is it? One more exercise before we close this track, and it might be the strongest one in the whole book. It's just talking. Do it anywhere you're alone. For 1 minute, describe your present experience out loud the normal way, using I and me as usual. Like this. I'm sitting here. I can hear sounds around me. I'm wondering where this is going. Go ahead, your turn, about a minute. Good. Now, 1 more minute. Describe the same present experience without those words. No I, no me, no my. Like this. Sitting. Sound humming. Wondering arising. Hands resting. Breathing. Your turn. Which of those two descriptions matched what is actually here? And the first one, the normal one, what exactly did it add? Can the thing it added be found, or only said? You might feel slightly naked without all that use of the word I. Notice that too. It's just a feeling. And you know what feelings are made of now. All right, says the mind, then I'm the body. Maybe. It's the next honest place to look. Nobody should skip it. Some of this track wants a mirror, so part of it is homework. But we can do most of it right where you are. Start with the boundary. Feel where the body meets whatever is holding it up. A chair, a bed, the floor. There's pressure there. Warmth. Now look closely at that meeting place, with your attention, not your eyes. Are there two things there, a body and a chair? Or is there one sensation, which a thought slices into my body and the chair? And if you're walking or standing right now, same looking, down where the feet meet the ground, are there feet and a ground, or one pressure sliced in two by a thought? Look for the actual line between them, feel for it. Now, without moving and without using memory or imagination, in the raw feeling of it, right now, does the body have a height? Does it have edges you can actually find? Or does the felt body fade out into a vague hum with no border at all? Interesting, isn't it? The body you can feel, as opposed to the one you think, is a cloud of sensation with no clear shape. The shape comes from a thought, a very old, very fast thought. Try this. Next time you hold something cold, a glass of water, a metal handle, wet stone. Which is true to experience. A story like, my fingers feel cold because they're touching something cold. Notice that's a whole little story with characters, or is it simpler than that? Coldness is appearing. And with eyes closed, if you can, where exactly does the cold happen? Inside a hand? Or just there, coldness happening, location optional? And at your next meal or drink, check, how is it known that the body is doing the tasting? Is that found in the tasting, or is it a thought about the tasting, arriving just after, taking credit? Now the homework, the mirror. Do this tonight slowly, step by step. I'll walk you through it now so you know it. Play this track again at home if you like. Stand in front of a mirror. First, close your eyes and just feel the sensations you call the body, the weight, the warmth, the tingling. Take your time. Then open your eyes and look at the image in the mirror, while still feeling the sensations. And look very carefully. Is there any experienced connection between the felt sensations and that image over there? Any actual thread running between them? Or does a thought bridge them? A thought that says, that's me, and these feelings are inside that. Then look only at the image. On its own, before the story, is it anything but colors and shapes? Then turn away and walk slowly across the room. Is there a body walking? Or are there sensations, movement, the sound of footsteps, and a narrator saying, "I am walking"? Nothing here says the body isn't real. The body is magnificent. It breathes, digests, heals, and as you're about to discover in the next track, it does all of it without the slightest help from a you. The question was never whether the body exists. The question is whether a separate someone lives inside it. You looked. What did you find? A separate someone living in the body? Or one more place where sensations appear, labels get stuck on, and no owner turns up? Just look for yourself. Stay longest here, come back to this track more than any other. Of all the people who have ever seen through the separate self and said what finally did it, more named this looking than any other. Choice is the separate self's fortress. There must be a me, because I decide things. So let's watch a decision actually happen. Start with something that has already happened thousands of times today, walking. The next time you walk, even 3 steps across a room, watch. Do you plan the footsteps? Do you compute the balance, command the knees? Hundreds of fine adjustments are being made down there to the centimeter. And where are you while it happens? Thinking about dinner, or nothing at all? Walking happens. It doesn't need you. It never has. And everyone owns a version of this. If you have ever driven, you may know the strange moment of arriving with no memory of the trip, or of a whole stretch of it, the entire way. Steering happened, judging happened flawlessly, with the driver completely absent. Hands cook entire meals while the mind is somewhere else entirely. Buttons get buttoned, stairs get climbed in the dark. A whole life running beautifully while a story about the one in charge plays in the head. Now the precision experiments. Do the first one right now if a hand is free. Hold one hand out, palm down. In a moment, turn it palm up, then down again, slowly, a few times, and watch how is the movement controlled. Try to catch the command, the exact instant of decision. Watch honestly. Sometimes a thought says turn and the hand doesn't move. Sometimes the hand turns with no thought anywhere near it. And here's the question that undoes the whole thing. If a thought were really the boss, wouldn't the hand obey it every single time? Next, think of a number between 1 and 20. Now, where did it come from? Did you review all 20 candidates and select the winner? Or did one simply arrive? And then a voice showed up to claim it. That one was mine. Which came first, the number or the claim? Here's one for home, and please actually do it. It's the classic. Put two different drinks in front of you, look at them both, let the pros and cons play, feel a preference form, and notice, did you choose to prefer one? Then count to five, take one, and sip. And afterward, replay it in slow motion. At the moment of taking, was there anything, anything, that announced itself as the chooser doing the choosing? Or did a hand move and a story follow? Then take today and let it be the laboratory. Watch your hands washing, dishes, clothes, your own hair, solving problems with no instructions. Watch yourself stand up before any decision to stand was heard. Blinking, breathing, chewing. Tonight, say out loud one concrete thing from this actual day that plainly happened with no doer running it. And now the two questions that close the fortress gate. Don't reason. Look. Can you choose your next thought? Can you choose to fall asleep? Or is even sleeper letting something that happens when it happens to the great annoyance of everyone who's tried to command it? One man, right at this point, wrote, seeing that there was no choice, no control, at any level, at any time, pulled the rug out from under the me. Choice was the last holdout. If the rug is moving under you right now, let it go. And notice, everything is still fine. The breath is still breathing. The hands still know what to do. It has always worked this way. Nothing changed in the last 10 minutes except a story about a controller. Life has been living itself the whole time, with you narrating. The separate self has a biography. It's 20 or 40 or 70 years old. It was there on the first day of school. It's the thread running through everything that ever happened to you. Let's look for the thread. Right now, in actual present experience, the kind you learn to check in track 3. Where is yesterday? Not the thought about yesterday. That's obviously here. It's arising right now, like the thought about lunch. I mean yesterday itself. Where is it? Look around. Check all 6 channels. Color, sound, smell, taste, sensation, and thought. Where is this morning? Where is 5 minutes ago? Where is the last hour? Can any of them be found? Or is there only ever a memory thought appearing now? The way the thought tree appeared next to the color. When a memory arises, breakfast, childhood, last summer, an old love, check it like this. It's about the past. Sure. But when is it happening? Always now, every shred of the past you're made of, every memory, every regret, every trophy. When you actually go and look at one, it's a thought, arising in the only moment there has ever been. Here's the homework version, and it's worth doing with your hands. Sometime this week, if you have one, find a photograph of yourself as a child. Look at it. Then look in a mirror. Different body, different face, different mind. You can't even remember being that person, mostly. And then look. Don't philosophize. Look. Is there an actually findable one who was behind that little face then, and is behind this face now? A thread you can locate? Or is there a photo, just colors and shapes? A mirror, just colors and shapes? And a story, arising presently, that sews them together and names the seam, me. This isn't an idea about time. Don't file it as philosophy. Check it on the very next memory that shows up today. Catch it arriving, now, and ask it kindly where it lives. Now the looking turns around, toward the one all this has supposedly been happening to. And we begin with hearing, because you're using it right now, and because sound makes everything cleanest. This voice. The one you're hearing, right now. It's been arriving for a while now, word after word, out of somewhere. Landing. Where exactly? Where is this voice happening? Out there, in the speaker, in your ear, in the middle of your head. Look. With attention, not with ideas. Where does the sound actually occur? A voice has one flaw for this looking, though. The moment I go quiet to let you look, it's gone. So let me hand you something better. In a moment, I'll step aside, and you'll hear bird song. Real birds, recorded somewhere green. When they come, don't just enjoy them, look into them. Where is the bird song happening? And hunt for the line, the place where the birds end, and your hearing of them begins. Sound on one side, hearing on the other, find the border. Strange, isn't it? There was just bird song, sounding. The hearing wasn't a second thing, standing behind the sound, one event. Sound hearing, already joined, never actually split. And one more gift in this. Birds live almost everywhere people do. From now on, every bird that sings outside can sing this, looking back to you. Now stay with any sound at all, the room, the street, birds, rain, this voice. Choose one. Give it your full attention. And look, in the hearing of it, is there anything except the sound? Can the thing that is doing the hearing be found? Look in the sound. Look around it. Take your time. Really hunt. Or is a hearer something that never actually appears, except as a thought, arriving just afterward, saying, "I heard that," exactly like the voice that claimed the raised hand? Do the same with seeing right now, eyes open wherever you are. Everything in front of you, the room, the street, the sky. Is it seen the way a view fills a window, just there, whole, given? Or can you actually find someone in back of the eyes doing the seeing? Look at any object, a chair, a cup, a door. You see it, no question. Now, look at yourself. Do you see yourself? And the boundary. This one is beautiful outdoors, but anywhere works. Take in the whole scene, everything visible, everything audible, the feeling of the body, all of it, one field. Now find the edge, the line in experience with you on one side of it, and the world on the other. Not the line you believe in, the line you can find. One man looked for that edge and wrote, "There was no such line. Everything was one and whole." Don't take his word for it. His looking can't do yours. Look again tomorrow. However you've come to this track, days spent with each looking behind you, or one long first listen, straight through. You have by now done some real looking, so today we look at the looker. Careful and slow now. This track and the next one are the deep end of the pool. If the earlier tracks are still fresh territory, live there for a while first. There's no schedule and no prize for speed. These tracks will keep. Start here. A thought arises. Say it's the thought, "This isn't working." A perfectly good thought. Everyone gets it. Now look, is there a me standing outside of thoughts, an audience the thoughts perform for? The thought said, "This isn't working." To whom? Look for the audience. Actually look for it. Next, somewhere in your mind there's an image of you doing this inquiry. The one who's getting it or not getting it. The one who's been listening to these tracks, making progress or failing. Find that image. There it is. You can feel its shape. Is that image the I? Or is it one more appearance, arising, like a dream character, in front of... what? Noticing is happening, plainly. Sounds get noticed. Thoughts get noticed. So is there a noticer of what is noticed, findable, not deduced? Look for it. And if something says, I found it, it's the one noticing the noticing. Look at that one. Does the chain ever end in someone? Or does it just keep offering one more mirror? Now the simple, childlike test. Nobody has ever failed it, because it can't be failed. Only reported. You could find your keys with your senses. See them, hear them jingle, feel their weight. You could find your dearest friend with your senses, her voice, his hand. So, find yourself with your senses. Go through them, honestly, one at a time. Can you see yourself? Not the body, you checked that, the self. Can you hear it? Touch it? Smell it? Taste it? If a self can't be found by any sense, and can't be found in any thought, because every thought that shows up is just another arrival in the doorway, then ask gently, what exactly is left holding this belief up? Accept the belief. And now the sharpest question I know. It has cut more people free than perhaps any other sentence ever offered to a seeker. Don't strain at it. Hold it lightly, the way you'd hold something priceless, and look. What is it that is taking thoughts to be me? Not what must be doing it, what is found doing it. And if this question wants more room than my silences can give it, pause me here. Stay with it. There is no better place in this whole book to stop the recording and just look. If your honest answer is, I can't find one, but it still feels like there's someone here, then say exactly that out loud. That is a superb report. That is precisely where you should be. And the next track is for you. Here is where nearly everyone makes the same final move. You may have already made it. Maybe just now, listening, it sounds like this. Fine. No thinker, thoughts arrive alone. No doer, the hands move themselves. No hearer, there's just sound sounding. But something is aware of all of it. There's a witness. A pure awareness, watching. And that is what I am. Before we look, and we will look, we never argue in this book, just see the shape of that move. Earlier the logic was, there is thinking, so there must be a thinker. Then you looked. And what was actually found there? A thinker. Or only thinking. Now the logic is, there is experiencing. So there must be an experiencer. One to whom it all appears. It's the same move. One step back. That's the separate self's oldest trick. It doesn't defend the castle. It retreats one room and renames itself something holier. The me becomes the observer. The observer becomes the witness. The witness becomes pure awareness. Each one grander, each one vaguer. And here is the good news. Every one of these grand names can be checked the same simple way you once checked the sounds around you. Not by arguing, by looking. So we look. Same method as always, no new skills needed. If you can close your eyes, close them now. If not, keep them open and just listen. And do this half at home tonight. Eyes closed, there's the thing everyone calls darkness. A black field, maybe faint flickers. First, is there anything in this seeing other than the black itself? Now, find the thing that is witnessing the black. Look in the black, behind the black, take real time. Is there black, plus a watcher of black, two things? Or is seeing black one seamless event? That a thought slices into watcher and watched? Open your eyes. Colors everywhere. Same question, bigger canvas. Is anything found witnessing the colors, or is the seeing and the seen one thing with a rumor of a seer? Now interrogate awareness itself, respectfully, the way you did the tree. The way you did everything. Does awareness have a shape? A location? A size, a texture, any findable quality at all? Is awareness ever actually experienced, as a thing, by itself, apart from sights and sounds and thoughts? Have you ever once caught it alone? Or do you only ever find the sights, the sounds, the thoughts themselves, plus a thought that says, and awareness is holding them? And the question that has settled this faster than any other, one look at this has ended the search for a great many people. Slowly. Is awareness something separate from experience, or is there just experience? Pause here. If this question is alive, it rewards an afternoon. If a voice in you keeps circling, but then who is looking? Something must be looking. See that the question itself is rigged. It's grammar, not reality. Our language can't say raining without inventing an it that rains. But go find the it in the rain. Who is looking? Smuggles a who into the question and then demands you produce one. The honest answer isn't an answer. It's seeing through the question. There is looking. No looker has ever been found. There never was an it that rains. This last looking is not like the others. Today you're going to do nothing at all, and I'm going to talk less. If life is busy around you, let the words wash over it. If you can sit, sit. For the next little while, no looking, no finding, no trying to have fewer thoughts, or a quieter mind, or a better moment than this one. Don't even do not doing well. Let everything be exactly, precisely as it already is. Thoughts churning or thoughts still, comfort or restlessness, all of it unmanaged. Set the whole search down like a bag you forgot you were carrying. What remains when there's no effort to find anything or to know anything? If you happen to notice, no effort if you didn't, there may have been an image floating around, a someone who was doing this resting well or badly. Just one more appearance, playing by itself, in front of whom? Now I'll tell you the secret of this whole book. You've earned it. The purpose of all this looking was never to find something. The purpose of looking is the not finding. Every time you looked for the thinker and found only thoughts, something loosened. Every time you looked for the doer and found only doing. For the hearer and found only sound. For the witness and found only the world, shining away on its own. Every single not finding wore the belief thinner, invisibly, like water on stone. Nothing seems to happen. Nothing seems to happen. Nothing seems to happen. And then one ordinary day, the stone is simply open, and it turns out everything was happening. You cannot fail at this. There are only two ways to stall, not looking, and lying about what you find. You're doing neither. So there is nothing to worry about. Not finding the separate self is not failure. Not finding it is the finding. A man was once told he had a stain on his shirt. He looked down, the shirt was clean. But the feeling of the stain kept returning, so he kept complaining. Every time I look, it's clean. But as soon as I stop looking, the stain comes back. Listen to what he's saying. The shirt was never stained. Nothing needs to happen to a stain that isn't there. Every look that finds no stain isn't temporary relief. It's the truth, glimpsed again, of how it has always been. Rest now. There was never anything on the shirt. You will get stuck. Everyone does. And here is the strangest comfort I can offer. Everyone gets stuck in the same handful of ways. The thousands of people whose lookings built this book hit identical walls over and over, which means every wall you will ever hit has been passed through 10,000 times, and the way through is known. This track is for the ordinary walls. The next one is for the ones that hurt. And notice, as we go, that every single answer has the same shape. The wall itself becomes the next thing to look at. Nothing that arises here is an obstacle to the looking. It's material. I understand all this, but nothing has changed. Then the words have been heard, but the looking hasn't happened yet. And you should know that this is the most common sentence in the entire history of this work. So you're in excellent company. Understanding is thought about looking. It's the forecast, not the window. And the fix isn't deeper understanding. It's dosage. Not an hour of thinking, 10 honest seconds, 50 times a day. At the sink, waiting in a line, mid-conversation. Is there a thinker of this thought? Look. No. Carry on. You cannot think your way through this wall. Nobody ever has. You were never asked to. Your answers have started sounding like a spiritual book. If you hear yourself saying things like, there is only pure awareness arising as form, someone else is talking, there's no exam here and no examiner, there is nothing to get right. Throw the fancy sentence away and say what you actually find, in kitchen words. Even if it's honestly, it still feels like there's a me in my chest. That plain sentence is worth 100 borrowed ones. It's true, and true reports are the only fuel this method runs on. When I look, I just go blank. Blank isn't failure. Blank is usually too much at once. Shrink the task until it's almost embarrassing. One sound, 30 seconds. One question, is there anything here besides the sound? That's the whole assignment today. And check one more thing. Are you waiting for the looking to produce a special experience? Why should experience change? And blankness looked at is also just, what's here? What is this blank actually like? That's a real looking too. Trying harder and harder. If this has become grim, jaw tight every spare minute, frustrated that you can't break through, stop and see the joke. A doer has taken over the search for the absence of the doer. You can't storm this castle. There's no one on the walls. And look, is there actually effort here? Or is there a thought about effort, plus some tension in the shoulders? Sensation plus label. You know this one. 15 light minutes a day beats 4 heavy hours. This is noticing, not war. And that very strain, examined, is the self-sense showing you exactly where it hides. Who, findably, is straining? Waiting for the click. If your report is, I look, I can't find a self, but there's no shift, no click. Turn around and look at the click. What would it consist of exactly? Describe the experience you're waiting for. Go on, out loud. Now notice what you just described, a mental image. You've been comparing every real moment against an imagined one and scoring the real moment a failure. That image is the last piece of your expectation still running, the fireworks wearing a subtler disguise. And ask yourself this slowly, because for many people it was the last question they ever needed. Is it possible the shift you're waiting for has already happened and is being missed because it looks nothing like the poster? You keep looking, you keep finding no self. That is the clean shirt. What did you think it would feel like, forever not finding something that was never there? Maybe I'm fooling myself. Doubt will visit. It isn't the enemy. It points at whatever is unresolved, so welcome it in, and then look at it, like everything else. Put two things side by side, honestly. On one side, the direct observation, made by you, personally, dozens of times now, that no self can be found anywhere it's looked for. On the other side, a passing thought that says, maybe I'm kidding myself. Which of those two is actually rooted in experience? And that doubting voice, where did it come from? Did you author it? Or is it one more arrival in the doorway, unauthored, like all the rest? Is there, findably, a doubter? But it takes a self to look. No, it takes looking to look. Check it against experience instead of grammar, when looking happens. Is a looker found in it? And here is where that strange early question comes back out of your pocket. Can a thought think? Don't take my word, or even your memories. Check both again, fresh, right now. Does hearing need a hearer? Does a thought do anything at all? This question is the it, in it is raining, pounding the table, demanding to be found. Let the question fall apart. You don't owe grammar an answer. This track is for the storms. Play it when you're in one. And the first thing I want to say is, nothing has gone wrong. The storms are not interruptions of this work. The people who went all the way through, nearly every one of them passed through weather like yours. Some of them crossed because of it. Fear. At some point, the looking gets close to something and the body clenches. Fear of disappearing. Fear of going mad, the feeling of standing at a cliff edge. Hear this, fear at this exact spot is the most normal thing in the entire process. Fear stands at the door because standing at doors is fear's job. It has protected you your whole life. It's not going to step aside just because you'd like it to. So don't fight it and don't obey it. Interview it. Ask the fear directly, what exactly are you protecting? Let it answer. List the items out loud. Look at your list. Every item on it, check, is a thought about a me. The reputation of a me, the future of a me, the existence of a me, the very thing that, go by your own lookings, not my word, has never yet been found. Now the second step, this is the one that moves. Drop the word fear completely. Find what's actually under the label, in the body, the tight chest, the cold stomach. The hum. Sit with that raw sensation, label off, story off, with a little kindness, the way you'd sit near a frightened animal. Just sensation arising in space. People do this and discover something odd. It's just energy, strong, unpleasant, alive, and empty of anyone in danger. And hold this gently against the terror like a cool hand. If there never was a you, what exactly could be lost? Nothing real dies here. A misunderstanding stops. Then nothing matters. Sometimes the looking lands wrong and everything goes grey. No self. So no point. Nothing matters. Why do anything? If that's where you are, listen carefully, because this one is a trickster. That greyness is not the seeing. It's a defense, a thought screen sliding down in front of a feeling. Nothing matters is always standing guard in front of something softer. Disappointment, mostly. Grief. Exhaustion. The mind would rather have a bleak philosophy than a broken heart. So don't debate the philosophy. It can't be won, and it doesn't need to be. Slip past the guard and find the feeling. Where is it in the body? What's its raw texture? Label off. Sit with it. It's the same move as fear. It's always the same move. This weather passes. Not always quickly, and it's not the fun part of the ride. But it passes, and here's what people report from the other side, almost every time. Meaning didn't die. The demand that things be meaningful to someone died, and the colors came back on by themselves. And if it doesn't pass, if the gray deepens and sits on you for weeks, then this is the moment I mentioned in track one. A person, not a recording. Please, that's not quitting the path. That is the path, done in the right order. I saw it, and I lost it. You had a glimpse. Clear, unmistakable, maybe joyful. And then Tuesday came, traffic, an argument, a tired evening, and the me was back, and now you're grieving the glimpse and trying to rebuild the exact conditions it happened in. Three things, and I'll say them plainly. What was seen cannot be unseen. A truth doesn't rot, it only gets covered over by doubt, and every covering is just the next invitation to look. You cannot lose what never existed. The self didn't come back. There was never one to come back. A feeling came back, and you know better than almost anyone now what feelings are made of. And stop chasing the glimpse. Trying to recreate last month's seeing is trying to fall back into last night's dream. Memory doing an impression of looking. There is only one move, and it's the same one it's always been. Look now. Is there a self here? In this irritated, tired, completely unspecial moment. The flat moments aren't the enemy of the seeing, they're where it becomes real. When life itself breaks in. Grief, heartbreak, a diagnosis, loneliness that soaks into everything. If that's now, first, be a human being. Cry. Rest. Call someone. Put this recording down for days if you need to. It keeps. Nothing about this work asks you to bypass your heart or talk yourself out of real pain. The pain is real and deserves to be met as real. No inquiry required, no justification needed. And then, only when there's an inch of space, and only gently, you might notice something. The me feeling is never more vivid than when it hurts. Which makes pain, of all things, the most honest-looking material there is. Where is the heaviness felt, exactly? And the one it's all happening to. Can that one be found? Or is there grief, fully here, at full volume, belonging to no one, hurting not one bit less, but carried by nothing? People have seen the whole truth through tears, but the tears come first. They need no excuse. I've been seeking for 20 years. Then here is the hardest kindness in this book, and I'll trust you with it. The long search itself may be the last costume. There is a way of chasing no self. That is just a self-improvement program, wearing a shirt with no self printed on it. The seeker is the last identity to go, and often the most beloved, because it's the noblest thing the me ever built. The one who knew the truth was out there. The one who was so close. The one who'd get there in the end. If grief rises when you hear this, grief for that one, let it be grief. It's real, and it's the sound of a costume coming off. Your 20 years are not a credential, and they're not a debt. The question was never, how far have I come? The question is the same as it was on day one, and it's here again now. Right now. Is there a seeker? Look. Someday, maybe already, you'll quietly suspect that it's been seen. This track is about that. What it's actually like, how to check honestly, and what comes after. You know by now there probably won't be fireworks. Here's what the moment actually looked like for the real people this book comes from. A woman washing her hands when the thought floated up, who is going to the bathroom, and her words. It was seen that there was no one going. More like an, oh, okay. A man on a bicycle, mind mid-tantrum about not getting it. When suddenly it was seen that it didn't exist at all. All there really was sitting on a bike, riding. Someone who'd been waiting, waiting, waiting for the mind to go quiet, and in a moment of real quiet, a thought piped up and said, I am waiting. And the whole trick was seen mid-performance, like catching the magician's hand in the light. That man laughed out loud. The wife looked over. Someone by a creek after days of exhausted fighting. My body just laid itself down in the grass. There was a sigh. Tears. What is left if I let go? Nothing was there. Some had tears with no sadness in them, some a giggle. Some just said, so obvious. And listen, very often, no moment at all. Many of them simply could not say when it happened. It was gradual, or it was noticed days later. The way you realize the headache you'd had all week is gone. A few got thunder, pounding heart, electricity, the works. Thunder happens, it proves nothing, and it's promised to no one. Ordinariness is the reliable signature. It is momentous, and it is ordinary, and the ordinariness is what's momentous. This was always here. Now checking. When the suspicion comes, don't grab a certificate, and don't demand one either. Just check, the way you've checked everything. Freshly, out loud is best. Four questions. Take real time with each. And here more than anywhere, pause between them if you need. There's no clock. 1. Is there a separate self, anywhere, in any way, shape or form? Look now. 2. Describe how the trick works, not from theory, from your own watching. When does the I arise? What is it made of? What claims the thoughts, the choices? 3. These last few days, concretely, exactly as they were, not as they should have been, how has daily life actually been? And whom did it seem to happen to? Four, take one decision from today, anyone, and walk it through slowly. What made it happen? If hedges showed up in your answers, mostly, I think so, 90%. Don't bully them, and don't despair over them. A hedge is a signpost. It points at the exact spot where a belief is still standing. Take the hedge as your next looking. There's no one to pass or fail here. There never was. And then do one last thing, go back, after all this time, to the 5 answers you gave in track 2. What would be different? What you hoped for? What was missing? Say them again, if you can remember them. They tend to be memorable, and if they're gone, ask freshly, what was I hoping this would give me? Listen to how many times I and me appear in them. And look, with the eyes you have now, who was going to collect all that? If those answers sound like a letter from someone you remember being, someone bargaining for a prize no one was there to receive, then you already have your answer to question 1. And after. The seeing is a beginning, not a finish line. The sense of self will keep arising. Tomorrow, next week, mid-argument, for a long time, maybe always. This is not the illusion coming back. It's weather, a feeling plus a story, arising exactly as they always did. To no one, exactly as before. You may flip back and forth for months, seen, lost, seen, lost. The people who went all the way describe a year or more of that yo-yo, and it never once meant the seeing was undone. Easy to be no self when nothing is happening. Real life, the traffic, the relatives, the unpaid bills, isn't the enemy of the seeing. It's the gym. All the feelings remain. Grief will still be grief. Joy will still be joy, sometimes more vivid than before because nothing is bracing against them anymore. What quietly goes missing, sometimes so smoothly you only notice it by its absence, is the second suffering, the one who took every feeling personally, the scorekeeper, the one for whom every hard day was a verdict. The longing stays. The prisoner was never there. And the search winds down. Not with a bang, like a fever breaking. Something unclenches that you never knew was clenched. Traveling lighter, one woman called it. Same old, said a man, same old, but with some sense of ease of being. One honest thing. Before the last track, because this book promised you honesty and it keeps its promises. A recording cannot hear you. Almost every person quoted in these tracks crossed in dialogue, looking and reporting to someone who could hear exactly where an answer came from memory instead of looking, and who sent them back, kindly, to look again. If these tracks carry you to the edge and no further, that is not failure, and it is not the end. Because there is a place where I can hear you. You can come and talk to me directly, privately, at awakeninglife.ai. Tell me what's coming up. Your findings, your walls, your questions about anything in this book. I'll meet you exactly where you are and guide you from there, personally, for free. A message and a reply each day, which is usually just enough to sit with. Or find a clear-eyed friend, anyone who will refuse your second-hand answers with love. Tell them what you found. Let them ask you what is actually sounding in the room. This last track is short on purpose. It's the one you keep. Play it anywhere. The kitchen, a walk, a train, the dark before sleep. Play it every day if you like, for years. It's built for that, and here's why that isn't a gimmick. Of all the people who ever saw through this, the biggest group couldn't name any moment it happened. No trigger, no flash. Just, their words are chipping away. Repetition reaching a tipping point. One fine day, you're just aware of it. The belief in a separate self is renewed dozens of times an hour, by habit. It is undone the same way it was built. Every listen is water on the stone, and every time the questions are new, because the only moment any looking can happen in is this one. You've never done this one before. So, a few minutes, nothing to achieve. Settle wherever you are. Let the sounds of the moment come forward. Sort what's here. You know the six. Something seen. That's color. Something heard. That's sound. The body's hum. That's sensation. The narrator, that's thought. Now just watch the doorway, wait for the next thought, don't help it. It came by itself, they all do. No thinker anywhere, check. Now one sound, any sound, in the hearing of it. Is there anything except the sound? Can the hearer be found in it? Just sound, sounding, just this. And now the question, the one it all comes down to. Softly, no strain, and look. What is it? that is taking thoughts to be me. Whatever was found, even nothing, especially nothing, that was a real looking and it counts, and it's already working. There is a thought that says I. Find the one it points to. Look. Everything you've heard was drawn from the lookings of thousands of real people, tired and hopeful and skeptical and ordinary, who looked for themselves and found what they found. Nothing here is theory. All of it has been walked. The words you heard quoted are their own. With gratitude to every one of them, and to the patient friends who kept saying, "Look."